This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzer with my colleague, Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View, Ukraine Conflict. This is ABC News U.S. Ukraine says its counteroffensive now delayed. Britain says it sent cruise missiles to Kyiv. The story goes on to explain that the Ukrainian counteroffensive against Russia's more than 14-month-old invasion has been expected as winter turned to spring. We can go forward and be successful, said Zelensky, according to the BBC. But we'd lose a lot of people. I think that's unacceptable. So we need to wait. We still need a bit more time. In terms of equipment, not everything has arrived. Professor, waiting is a cautious approach. However, we both know that in history, waiting can be a way of losing momentum. Does Brussels contribute those weapon systems now because it wants Ukraine to go after having spent, what, more than a year hesitating about what weapon systems and when and how you can use them?
Well, I just have to remind us all that as real wars go, and this is a real war, a year is just the overture in most cases. So the idea that we should be pushing to decision in year two, it's very unlike World War One or World War Two or Vietnam or any number of other examples. I think with NATO, what strikes me is that NATO has not split. There have been signs of dissension within NATO, and I think both Russia and China, which is really a kind of sideshow here, they all figured, well, we know how to fix the Westerners. We just get them fighting with each other. We just split them up, split off Europe from America, so forth, and have a multipolar situation, and then we can run it. But that isn't what's happened. The NATO countries are, as we can see from the statements of their various envoys and by the extraordinary speed, the blood on the floor, as the French have had to walk back or, you know, knife Macron's very, very foolish statements about not being a vassal of the United States. This, I think, is the key fact that NATO is intact, and they're, if anything, they're supplying more weapons than they had before. On delay, remember that in World War One they had offensives all the time, and it was felt that offensives were good for morale. So every few nights, the guys in the trench would be told, all right, we're going to go over. And the bleeding. And you'll notice in World War II that we did torch, and then we did I can't remember what the code name was for Italy and Sicily and that. But we basically saved our offensive for Normandy. And the argument was that it's better to have a fully prepared offensive that's got enough equipment and all the rest, and then go in with one punch of the fist and win, than it is to have lots of small offensives. Now, that's a matter of judgment, but I think that what Zelensky says makes sense, and he's not saying we're putting it off until next year. He's just saying we're sort of here waiting for some stuff that is not here yet. We've got a few things to do. The whole summer is beckoning before him and Ukraine and Russia, and I don't think that much can happen on the Russian side that is going to change things. If anything, the pattern we see now of demoralization, lack of supplies, lack of medical care, lack of command, and so forth, that's going to continue. So I don't think Zelensky's talking through his hat here.
A detail, Professor. The UK Defense Minister Ben Wallace told lawmakers that the UK has sent Storm Shadow missiles. Here's what's important. Conventionally armed weapon with a range of more than 250 kilometers. That's 150 miles. By contrast, the truck-mounted HIMARS launchers supplied to Ukraine by Washington have GPS-guided missiles capable of hitting targets at 50 miles. So the UK has taken upon itself, as a member of NATO, to give a missile system to Ukraine that the U.S. has chosen not to give to Ukraine. Is that significant in terms of NATO's politics?
I think it's significant. It's very significant. Above all, it's significant for what it says about the United States, which is that even at this stage, even after having given more than $30 billion worth of support to Ukraine, that we still seem to have this kind of victory anxiety, or whatever you want to call it, that we escalation anxiety. The Russians are firing missiles with hundreds of miles range every night. They're firing 30, 40 of them into Ukraine. And we're worried that if we increase the range of the missiles from sort of 90 to 150 miles, which makes a huge difference as far as targets go, that this is going to somehow enrage the Russians. I think the Russians are already enraged. If we're worried about alienating Russia or something, it's done. The Russian leadership fears and hates the Western leadership. The Brits have the sense to realize we want to get this thing over with. Let's get the Ukrainians some missiles that can hit the targets that are causing them the most trouble. And that's those are artillery that can outrange theirs, and which they do not, the HIMARS can't get. And also this Kerch Bridge and targets inside Crimea. We don't rush the, right now the Crimeans cannot hit air bases and stuff right in the middle of Crimea. With these British missiles, they'll be able to do that. And that's bad news for the Russians. I think what it shows is that on a certain level, or I would say a living tradition based on my experience with British academics. I mean, they have real professorships of war. The Chicheley Professor of Warfare at Oxford. We have no comparable professorship anywhere in the United States. No, most universities don't even teach about war. So the British are less well-armed than we are, and they've got a much, 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 much smaller military. But when it comes to knowing what to do, they're very good. And this is why their units like the SAS and so forth are so good, because they're very, very good at both the technical details and the large concepts of war.
Professor H.A. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We're headed to D.C., reluctant D.C. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.